roughly halfway there is the book of Matthew 28, verse number 18, and then 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Matthew chapter 28. We're going to go to chalkboards and mouth harps next week, I think. Matthew chapter 28. Stand with me if you would. We'll find it on the screens in there in a little bit. Matthew 28 verse 18. Matthew 28 verse number 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given me in heaven and earth." Some of your Bibles have a little note there. All authority. What authority do we have to do anything we do for the Lord in the United States, Canada, Mexico, North America, South America, Europe, Asia, Pacific, Antarctica, South Pole, wherever we are? We have authority because God said you have authority. God said, "I'm leaving and I give you the authority that's here." Authority to do what? Verse 19, "Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching him to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I am with you always." Jesus says, "I'm leaving, but I'm with you." How's he going to do that? "Even unto the end of the world, the end of the age." There's a time when all this is going to wrap up. Old time preachers used to say, you know, everything is coming to an end, coming to a head. And by the way, looking at the news past 18 months, I'll be really glad when things kind of do wrap up. Amen. It's kind of exhausting to look at all this kind of stuff. And you see all these kind of things. He says here that there is a time coming when these three prerogatives will be no more. There'll be no more time to work, be no more time to evangelize, baptize, or disciple. That time is wrapping up and wrapping up rapidly. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2. The Bible says, "As newborn babes or babies desire the sincere, the unvarnished, the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Just like hungry babies, you ought to want to be fed, not milk, but the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. I want to give you step number 3 today. I want to talk to you this morning about discipleship. About discipleship. Pray with me one more time. Father, from the front to back, the left to the right, I pray that you'd help us this morning to hear, understand, and obey. I pray that you help me to preach your word with power and authority. Lord, I pray that the sound system work well. If not, I pray my voice would work well. I pray that we'd be understood, and more than that, that we would listen with an intent, with a heart to follow you. Lord, this is not my plan. I didn't come up with this. This is not my thought process. This is yours. This is what you've said. And this is what we're supposed to have been doing for 2,000 years. This is the prerogative of every church, every person who hangs their hat here. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to hear and obey. Father, I pray you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, use me, I ask, and fill me. I pray that I'd be controlled by you, I'd speak clearly, and that you would preach on the inside while I'm preaching on the outside. We give you all the honor and the glory in advance. Thank you for the wonderful special music. And I pray that this part of the service as well would glorify you, O great King. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. And amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. I've given you 3 steps here. And with us being gone and some springtime, spring break and all those kind of things, I thought I'd just remind us a couple of things here. What we said, I think that the first step always has to be before you take a next step. And I don't want to miss a step, if you allow me to use that kind of pun there. And you need to repent, you need to believe. I think for anyone who's wanting to follow Christ, this is where we start. This is where we begin. I've given you these so I can go quickly here. And basically, I'm saying I agree with what the Bible says about my sin and about the consequences that I face. That this will doom and damn me if I stay the way that I am. There's not many roads that lead to heaven. There's one road to lead to heaven. There's not many paths to Christ. There is one path to Christ, and it's through what he said about himself and what the Bible said about me. You say, "Well, I think and I believe, and I know what you mean, but I want to tell you what you think and what you believe does not contradict or counter man the Bible." People say, well, you know, that's just your opinion. That's usually a duck and a dodge for somebody who disagrees what the Bible says. Let me help you with something. You can disagree with what I say, but if I'm saying what the Bible says, your problem's not with me, your problem's with Christ. Your problem's with the Word of God. So we start here. Well, I have some problems. No, the Bible says we're a sinner. Well, I'm a good person. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. You cannot start on the path to following Christ till you understand that you're a poor, lost, wretched sinner. Say, I don't like that. Well, I didn't like it either. And I understood what God said to me, and I took Him up at His offer that if I would confess my sins and put my faith and trust in Him, that He would cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Boy, I love that thought, don't you? That God takes people who are not worthy and makes them heirs to His kingdom. God takes people who are disobedient, dishonorable, and He calls them His children. Boy, I love the thought that I can belong to Him. And secondly, I told you that it means that I agree and I submit to what the Bible says about Jesus. If you say Jesus was a good man, I think you misunderstand. Good men don't claim to be God. Can I get an amen from anybody in the room? Good men don't claim that they rose from the dead. Good men don't claim that they're the only way. Good men don't do that. Only God should do that. It's not a good man if he's telling a lie. He's not a good man if he's a phony. He's either, years and years ago, Strickland wrote, he said he's either Lord, liar, or lunatic. And I have to agree. He's who he says he is. He's just a con man, or he's a nut job. It's only three options you have. And the Bible says he was born of a virgin, then he was born of a virgin. If he never sinned, then he never sinned. And if he died, he really died, and he really rose again, then I agree what the Bible says about Jesus. Let me give you a little hope and help here. And the Bible says that he's coming back again too, amen? The Bible says in the same manner that you saw him ascend, he would come back. There's a day coming when I'll get to be with Jesus. Wonderful thought and a wonderful time. I wonder, some of you worried somebody's shooting at me. I told you it's going to happen. It's okay, but if you are shooting at me, I know who you are. And it's a wonderful time at all. I see you back there, Zach. And it's a wonderful time. So I agree and I submit to what the Bible says. This one-time act of repentance should lead to a life of repentance. It should lead to a life of repentance. Say, what do you mean? Some of you have got the programs and all, you're making some notes and stuff on the back. It should lead to a life of repentance. I'm sorry for my sin, but when I blow it again, how many of you people in here have been married longer than a year or two? Year or two? You just barely. There, Jacob, I've been married 13 months. And you don't know nothing. 13 months. How many of you just do like this to people who have been married 13 months? Amen? I'm fixing to get on a rabbit here. I started to say John. There's like nine Johns in that corner there. Mr. Wells, how long have you been married? 20 years. You're at 22? 22 years. You're what? I thought you were still dating. And 47. He's coming up on 50. Kinder's been married a little while. Johnson, she's texting now on the screen there. Probably. 60-some years for the Johnsons and all this kind of stuff. Man, when you're in a relationship, every now and then you blow it. And you better learn quickly to repent with your spouse. Nod your head if you're with me. Roy's going, I ain't never said I'm a star. And I'm kidding. And, man, you better learn to do it or you eat cold food. And everybody in here in a relationship understands that. Man, with the Lord, I got news for you. It's a one-way street, though. God's never said he's sorry to me. God's never failed me. He's never lied to me. He's never broke my heart or my feeling. Watch it. But I've oftentimes been unfriendly, unfaithful, unkind to him. And this one time, I want to keep, the old timers used to say, I want to keep a short account with him. You lost your cool, lost your temper, you need to repent. Said something ugly, you ought to repent. Lustful thought, you ought to repent. Watched some movie you ought to repent. You stole something that wouldn't belong to you, you ought to repent. It ought to be as natural for me to want to be really right with God as it was when I was broken over my sin. Our problem is we don't live a lifestyle of repentance, and we start getting calluses on our heart, and we start learning how to make excuses, and all of a sudden we're in a bad way, in a bad place, in a bad ditch, because we have rationalized the irrational, because we have compromised on what is uncompromisable, and all of a sudden we never ever thought we'd be where we are. I know this act of repentance ought to lead to a life of repentance. We said last week, baptism. Baptism. We said next step for us ought to be baptism. Pardon me. See, baptism is not necessary for salvation, but it really is for obedience. I know there's groups very strong in this area. And you got to be baptized. Well, I think you ought to be baptized. I think you're commanded to be baptized. And I think if you never, ever, 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 ever will be baptized, you know, we need to talk real hard, because there ought to be something in my soul that says, you know, I want to do what God tells me to do. I want to be baptized. For me, man, it was the act of disobedience. I waited till I was 15. I trusted Christ as a young person, 6, 7 years old, and I just kept putting it off and kept putting it off. And you know, on a fall night, I finally was obedient to the Lord. And I was almost like, you know, man, I have finally done what I've known to do all these years. And I put it off. And my testimony is not one of glamour there. I should have done it a long time before I did. It's not necessary, but it was necessary to obey God. See, baptism is an outward expression of an inward change. It's an outward expression of inward change. I want people to see me go under the water and be raised again, that I identify with Christ. It is that one of those first signs that I get to have and say to anybody who's listening, anybody who cares, that I am wanting to be part and counted with Christ. On our church planters, the Kimbrels, and who else is out there? Several couples out there with them. Sorry about that. And they just had their first baptism. They're in Irvine, California. And they're there, and they've had four people trust Christ, and they got these blue inflatable pools. Nod your head if you're with me. Got the inflatable ring there. And he says, all right, no golf clapping. Everybody know what golf clapping is? These people, and by the way, some of them very religious families, they're saying to the whole world, identified with Jesus. Smiles on their faces. Three supporting churches. These people wanted everybody to know that what God did on the outside, they wanted people to see. And this is my public announcement, that I have privately repented and believed on the Lord. Believed on the Lord. Say, why do we do this? I give these two, we get to our new material. Number one, because it's the illustration of Christ's death. Lord in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. This is God's picture, Romans chapter 7. This is what he did for us. I get to identify with Christ. I get to identify with Christ. We have a funny thing. I'll show it to you next month. But anyway, a little deal. Said a guy was getting baptized. Guy was getting baptized and said, now everything that goes under the water belongs to Jesus. And so this little cartoon. And so guy's got his hand up like this, you know, holding his wallet. You know, he want to make sure, leave that out, amen. And I'm identified. Why? Because it just perfectly pictures that I'm there. It's hard to be in water and not be wet. Nod your head if you understand that kind of thing. I'm just from Eastern North Carolina. I'm not smart as East Tennessee people. But, man, when I get in the water, I get wet. I get more than a little wet, all right? We talk about getting wet all the way to the bone. When I'm identified with him, I'm identifying with his death and his resurrection. Come out of the water. How many of you think if you're baptized, it's good to come out of the water? Nod your head if you're with me here. Some of you already asleep. I ain't even started really preaching yet. Number three there, it's a public declaration. I belong to him. I belong to him. I belong to him. It's funny. I don't think they'll watch this. I don't really care if they do. We had a lot of our public officials here last year. We had our community appreciation. I may remember that. I think all of them are running for mayor now. I think they're all running for something. I'm teasing. They're not all running. Just maybe one not. They're running for something, or running for this, running for that. It's kind of humorous. I've talked to some of them lately, and I told them we were praying for them and all, and the conversation starts. Well, you know that I'm thinking about, and I went, nope. And I said, well, you know, what kind of fundraising dinners are you going to have? You know, I'm just laughing. I'm just teasing with them. But if they feed me steak and shrimp, I might vote for them. I don't know. I'm really teasing. All of you that got real offended, I'm just messing. I'm just messing. But they all had the same thing. Well, I've already got a website, and we got a hashtag. You can let everybody know, you know, if you decide, if you choose to, maybe if you want to, you know, support us. Well, that's a public declaration that I think there'd be a good candidate. I'm so tired of politics right now, I don't want to even think about it. Bless their hearts. I hope they do well. We'll pay attention later. Nod your head if you think that's a good idea. Yeah, baptism, public declaration, I belong to Him. I don't care who knows, I belong to Him. So where do we get all these from? Where do we get all these steps from? Well, I'm glad you asked. We just read the verse, and that's the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. The Bible says what? The Bible says, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you. See, the Bible tells us to do these three things. Number one, the Bible tells us that we're to see people saved, or to see people saved. Many of you, you come, one of the first questions you get from me is, tell me your story. Tell me what's going on. I want to know, have you ever asked God to save you from your sins? Why? Because that's a prerogative of the church, to see people saved. Nod your head if you understand that. It's what we're to be about. It's one of the reasons we take our kids to conference and to camp. One of the reasons we have junior church and Sunday school. One of the reasons we have Wednesday night program. One of the reasons we bring kids in. We're supposed to be seeing people saved. We have a high quality literature. We want to pass out and promote. We want you to have that. We've ordered handouts. We're going to put peeps to. We're going to try and give out a couple of thousand of those in the weeks ahead and invite people here for our Easter service and our Easter extravaganza. Why? Because the commission of the church is to see people saved. You believe that? Say amen. Is what we're supposed to do. It's great that we've got Karma out here. I'm all for that. But we are supposed to be seeing people saved. If they got all the food and all the water and all the shelter, but they don't know Jesus, we didn't really help them. If you believe that, say amen. So we see people saved. We're to see people baptized. Where is that at? Right there in Matthew 28. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinitarian formula. We're to baptize them. See them baptized. See them progress from step to step. Repent, believe. Follow God in baptism. And then the third one, here's today. Teach them how they should live. Teach them how they should live. See, the Bible teaches me that I'm guilty, but He is perfect. The Bible teaches me that He is faithful, but I am faithless. The Bible teaches me that I should submit because Christ is the master. We've quit using master and servant words because America had an unbelievably awful, horrific past with slavery. Look right at here. I wouldn't be controversial in that regard for the world, especially all you that are under 20 here. You hear master and servant and you just lose your mind. But I'm not been sold into slavery. I have volunteered for Christ to be my master. I've said I found someone worthy to serve. And I am glad to be called a slave or a servant to my Lord and Savior. And it doesn't bother me in the slightest to say that. And I know it's charged and controversial, and I hate that for our past, but there's something in me, something in us needs to say, He's the boss and I'm not. He's in charge and I'm not. He is worthy and I'm not. That's what the Bible says and how the Bible says I should live. So what are we to do? What do we do? Well, we need to be a disciple. We need to be a disciple. To be a disciple means to be a student, means to be a follower, or to be a disciple of Christ, to be discipled, to be discipled. (Clears throat) Brother Glaspie's working our junior church today. If you ask Brother Glaspie what he did on Friday, he may or may not can tell you. He's still young. But if you ask him who was the seventh player off the bench the last time the Duke Blue Devils played in a championship game, I'd think he could probably tell you. He found out something Friday that bothered him. He was trying to find out. He didn't know who a player was and where he came from and all. And I just looked at him like, you have no life. Man, all this Duke Blue Devil trivia. It's Carolina trivia, I think, is important. But this Duke, I'm teasing here. He's probably going to run down the hall in a second. We understand what it is to follow NASCAR, to follow baseball, to follow football. We know what it is to follow our favorite team. Heaven forbid there are QVC junkies, people who follow the celebrities on QVC, and they know about them, know when they get married, know when they change their hair, and all these things. We know what it is to be devoted to something. I found out that there are people who don't really like the fact that New Balance bought Rockport, and that they're trying to buy up all the old Rockport before New Balance can mess with the formula that makes the Rockport shoe so great. God forsave me for the fact that I even know that, by the way. We know what it is to be interested, to be excited, and to be willing to be taught or led by another. So let me help you with a couple things. 1 Peter 2:2 says, we are to desire the word of God like hungry babies. How many of you ladies whose children are grown now, a little older, but if you hear a baby crying, it just drives you kind of crazy? How many of you old enough you can hear a baby crying and then you just ignore it? Because I want to know the secret. I don't know who, somebody who didn't love us gave us a set of baby monitors. We put one in there with the baby, one in there with us. I kept trying to cut ours off. I thought, you know, man, we're never going to get to sleep with listening to this baby cry. How many of you men think that's a good idea, you know? I keep cutting this baby monitor off. There's only three of us in the house and one's in a crib. It's not you, Andre. It's me. I took the batteries out. I unplugged it. I figured the baby's that bad off, we'll hear it through the wall. I mean, that's man logic. Amen. Amen. Trish is back there going, don't you listen to a word of this. One night I was in there and I was like, look, Allison, here's your bottle, here's a spare. If you get hungry, just reach over. Please quit crying. Please quit crying. We were at my mom's house and Allison was crying. My mom said, somebody needs to take care of that baby. Andre and I, you know, bags down about right here, going, well, why don't you do it, Mom? Mom said, I don't do babies. I'm thinking, I'm glad this is a new development. Everybody in here ought to know what it is for a young child, an infant, to desperately want to be fed. 1 Peter says we are to do this just like a child does. Like an infant desires and craves milk, we are to crave the Bible. Let me give you three things and I'll be done. Number one, believers need to be fed. Believers need to be fed. They need to be fed the Word by a teacher. You need to be fed the Word by a teacher. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. They may do it with joy, not with grief. I will be listening to a teacher, to be listening to a teacher. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit's made you overseers to feed the church of God. You need to be fed the Word. You need to be fed the Word via teacher. You need somebody pouring God's Word into you. That's why we have Sunday school, Sunday night. That's why we have Wednesday night. We have groups that meet during the week. That's why we do this, because you are to be fed. There ought to be something in you that's starving. You listen to BBN or K-Love or whatever, when they have their teaching time, and it thrills you. Some of you have a cable or a satellite, and you can catch some things. You have some stuff emailed to you. You ought to want this to be poured in your life. We're working, Brother Wells and I, trying to find a cheap book stand, and we're trying to get some things so you can have and buy some good books that I think are good and pour it into your life. You need to be fed this way. Some of the teenagers, I know Michaela's doing this on the Bible app, and what's the name of that thing? YouVersion app, and she's got a devotion and then a Bible reading, and this is a pouring in her life. You need to be fed. You need to be fed by a teacher. You need to be fed by a preacher. You need to be fed by a preacher. Preach the word. The instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, meekness, gentleness of heart. This is what we are to be doing. Have the word preached to you. There's something so spiritual about a service like this where God's word is told and explained and then given something to do, taught how to live, take the word and do something with it. You need that. You need that. I can sit on a stool and teach you. That's part of it. And then we can do that in a classroom, do that with a book, we can do that on the radio, some of those kind of things. But you need a pastor, you need a preacher in your life. You need somebody there who's giving you the word. The Bible, A.W. Tozer says that God preaches to the man, and he makes the man before he makes a message. One of the things I get to do weekly and monthly and yearly is have God just put it in my heart and my life. And I wrestle with it, and then I come in about a 30-minute or so version and try and give it out to you. God's working on me. You need a preacher. That's a commandment. You need to cook in your own Bible, in your own quiet time. Your own quiet time. If you only eat once a week, you're going to be real skinny. I mean, you think children ought to make their bed and you ought to be able to see the floor in the room occasionally? I mean, you think that's a good idea? I mean, if you're giving up on that, you're just going to buy another house. Okay, a couple of you. How many of you think 2 cents worth of toothpaste is better than $200 worth of dentist? How many of you think flossing's evil, but if it really will keep the cavities away, we floss? How many of you think flossing's evil? Don't raise your hand. How many of you expect some of those kind of things out of your children and grandchildren daily? How many of you? If they never have a cavity and your room is spotless and they do their own laundry, and heaven help us, they clean their own bathroom. But we don't teach them how to read God's word. We don't have a time to pray with them. I don't know we're helping them to be fed the way it ought to be. We give them take-home sheets in Sunday school. We encourage them. We encourage you. We want you to know this and understand this. We are to take God's word in. If you work second shift, man, have your devotional time at mealtime. Have it in the morning. Have it at night. Have it two or three times a day. Whatever you got to do to take God's word in. Let me help you. Some of the weakest, most anemic people are not the ones who come every so often to church. They're the ones who take and never take God's word in through the week. You don't have any quiet time, so you have no heart for God. Your heart gets callous, and then you're starving, and temptation comes, and it steamrolls you, and your anger comes, and it steamrolls you. God help us. We know financial trivia, sports trivia, pop culture trivia. Know who's Kardashian's dating whom and who had lip injections where, but we don't know the first thing about the Bible because we're not being fed in a quiet time. You need to be fed. You need to be led. Last two are real short. You need to be fed. You need to be led. You need to be led by biblical commands. They're the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. It's still wrong to steal. Can I get an amen? It's still wrong to murder. Can I get an amen? Still wrong to commit adultery. Still wrong to commit fornication. That's all kind of sexual sins. It's still wrong to dishonor God. Still wrong to use God's name as part of profanity. It is still wrong to blaspheme His day. It is still wrong. Those are commands. We don't vote on them. We don't get to say what I think about them. They are wrong. We don't say, I believe that. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It's right and wrong. It's a biblical command. Biblical principles. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, to all the glory of God. I have biblical principle. Biblical principle. I was teasing Roy a second ago. Roy's outside his house where he's working on his steps. Roy's got a loose step. Roy takes a step off, puts a new step down, sands it, puts screws in it, makes sure it's there, puts a top coat of polyurethane on it, whatever. Roy's to do that for the honor and glory of the Lord. Tommy's traveling. He's picking up his baggage. He's hailing a taxi or calling up an Uber or whatever. He's to do that for the honor and glory of the Lord. He's working on a job site. That's what he's doing. He's to do that for the honor and the glory of God Almighty. Don Weininger, he's out. He's picking up his deliveries or picking up his things. He's going and getting them where back to the plant and all. He's do that as he's out riding around. He's do that for the honor and the glory of the Lord. John Wells is out and mowing grass, mulch or whatever, or helping the preacher find something where he do that for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Doris is out mowing grass on the side of her mountain there by Zaxby's. She'd do that for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Brooklyn's doing her schoolwork. She'd do that for the honor and the glory of the Lord. That's a principle. What I do, I can give Him honor or dishonor. I can give Him glory. I can take it for myself. I'm to do. That's a biblical principle. I'm to be led this way. I'm to be led by a pastor. This isn't puffing me up. Look at the verse. I put the verse there, guys. Biblical pastor. Write this reference down. I quoted this a second ago. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them, respect them, reverence them, they have the rule, the overseer of you, and submit, for they watch for your souls. We're tracking 183, 185 right now. Not 180 some people here today. I'm going to give an account for those people. The ones that have turned into sin, I'm going to give an account for what I did when I had them here. I'm going to give account for the little girl and the long-haired guy at the gym I've been talking to for some months now. I'm going to give an account. I'm going to give an account. I'm going to give an account for the ones who asked me to help with their marriage and their kids. And I'm going to give an account for all the hours that are spent list. I'm going to give an account. I'm going to give an account for everybody who's gotten into sin and climbed all over me to do it. We're to be fed. We're to be led. If you allow me a little, we're to belong. I'm done. We're to belong. Hebrews 10:31, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner some is. We're to be here. Be here. You know me well enough. Second shifters, you got. I got it. I'm not. But this is important. This is where we give out the word. This is where you react and react. This is where people love you and pray for you. This is your place. This is your group. This is His day, and it's His house, and it's His body. Be here. Robert Morgan, who passed over in Nashville, says, how would you like it if your watch only ticked one time and missed the next, your heart only beat one time and missed the next, your child missed every other day of school, your engine only hit on half its cylinders? Joe said, that sounded like everything in my life right now. Irregularity in any area of life causes problems, and it was said about the Christians, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. When I'm on and off, I hurt you and you hurt me. Be here. Be here. Be discipled. Be discipled. Somebody needs to pour into your life. That's almost the exact words I think Jacob and Tanya used when we met them some months ago. Want someone to pour in their lives. Well, they got the right idea, don't they? Bible idea. We're all where we are, good or bad, because we've allowed someone who's godly to pour in our lives. I'll be a follower. I'll be a follower. I about shouted. I just scared all the women to death. It wasn't the first week. I think it was last week. I snuck down here. I had to grab something. All these ladies the second week, because all the ladies are in here and they're watching the video, and those who can see real well got their books down here. And the other 18 got their books up here. And they're writing as hard as they can go. And they're taking it all in because they want God's Word to teach them something. And they want to leave the other end of this 6-8 week class, and they want to leave better off. They want to be discipled. Wait for it. And then we need to be accountable. We need to be accountable. I've laughed and laughed. I'm done. Look right up here. I was working at the college, and I was traveling. I was doing a lot of fill-in. For a while there, I really thought I could go into evangelism. It's not been the case here. I don't get a lot of calls here, but I was out. I was out 40 weeks, different churches and all. This is a lot of fun. Met a lot of people, ate a lot of food, gained a lot of weight. I'd been gone 2 or 3 months. I showed up on a Sunday morning. Didn't have a service. Showed up on a Sunday morning. The guy looked at his wife, looked at me, looked at his wife, talked to his wife, came back to him and says, boy, I'm so glad to see you. I'm so glad to see you. I called him by name. He said, we've been praying for Andre and the kids. I thought, that's wonderful. We didn't know what had happened, why you'd quit coming to church. But we were praying for them. We knew it was difficult for them, but we're so glad you're here. And oh, I said, what? You stopped coming to church, and your wife was here. She was singing in the choir. We saw your kid, but not you. We don't need to know what's going on, but we just want you to know we've been praying for you, and we're glad you're here. And my pride in me started to go, brother, I've been preaching. I ain't been here because I've been leading services. All across Eastern North Carolina and all. And there's this man, his eyes are wet with, you know, he just into this. And I shook his hand and I said, boy, thank you. I said, I've been helping some other churches. I said, but I sure hadn't been here. I said, man, thank you for being a good friend to my family. He said, that's such a relief to know that. Actually, he didn't believe me at first. It's such a relief to know that. I'm glad, but we sure have been praying. You been in church? I promise. I've been in church. He laughed. I laughed. I wondered how many more people were like that who thought Andre has married a slug who doesn't come to service. But anyway, I chuckled. Would to God every one of us missed the others and loved the others and prayed for the others. I don't want to be with a church of busybodies and nosies. Nod your head if you understand that. Anybody with you there? But I sure wouldn't mind being somewhere where everybody loves everybody enough to notice and to pray and to care. That sounds like a great idea, doesn't it? Everybody needs to what? Everybody needs to be part of a community of believers who are focused on living biblically. Wherever you find yourself, whatever step you find yourself in, whatever phase of life you find yourself in, whatever, wherever you are, you ask me what our church was about. It's what our church, I want our church to be about. Living biblically. Ups and downs and side to sides and good days and bad days. Living biblically. 1 Corinthians 11 says it like this. I need you. You need me. And we need each other. I need you. You need me, and we need each other. Gladys needs Samantha. Samantha needs Jason. Jason needs TJ. TJ needs Roy. Roy needs Rusty. I can go around the room. I need you, you need me, we need each other. You need to be led, you need to be fed, and you need to belong. Pray with me. Father,